of some of my learnings. If some of you may or may not know, I started a course in September, and the course title is A Master's in Spiritual Formation. I entered the course not really knowing what that meant. I'm gradually learning what that means. So I thought I might share just some of the things I learned, particularly over the last term, because it's been really helpful to me. So if it's been helpful to me, I hope it's been helpful to you. And I think it also just ties in with some of the things that God's been doing here recently, particularly through Sky and Belinda. Sky was baptized 2 weeks ago, Belinda today, and we'll just talk about that in a second. So there's a verse, quite a famous verse in the book of Romans, which says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so I remember actually a Bible teacher a long time ago saying to us, you know, faith starts in the head, he said. Faith starts in the head. It's something that goes on in the mind. It's something once we understand, with the understanding comes then the beginnings of transformation, beginnings of faith. So what we've been looking at in my studies is how we go about being renewed in the mind, being renewed in our mind. And there are spiritual disciplines, there are spiritual practices to help with that. And so I'm going to talk about, some of you know this this word or this term already, Lectio Divina. Anyone come across that, Lectio Divina? A few of you don't want to put your hand up, but yeah. It's a Latin word, it means divine reading. And so, particularly if you're newly baptized or on the beginning of the journey, this is a great thing to learn and to pick up, because I think it's a great tool to have in your faith toolbox. If you're old, it's a faith, like some of us, you know, I've been singing these songs since we're in school, and you know, it's still a great tool to have in your kit bag, you know, and to grow in the spiritual life. And actually, because I spent a bit of time with Sky as she prepared for her baptism, and also Belinda this week, as I've been listening to these two talk, thinking, you guys are kind of doing this already. You don't realize it. You're doing something already that is bringing transformation and renewing of the mind. And I'll say more about that in a second. So, breaking news. All right, here's the thing. Here's the thing. How we read the Bible on the whole, okay, today, is not how it was read in the early church. Breaking news. Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. Wendy's my sound effects lady. You can carry on with that. I'll explain. So there was a guy called St. Benedict. He wasn't called St. Benedict at the time. He was probably just called Benedict. But he later became known as St. Benedict, around the 5th century. And he started this order of monks, a monastery. And through him, he developed a meditative way of reading the scriptures, which what we know now as Lectio Divina. And it was a prayerful, thoughtful, meditative process where the words of the scriptures were taken, not necessarily whole long chunks of scripture, but just maybe short passages, and they were chewed over and internalized and prayed over. And I think I've said this before, and then the scriptures were thought to have layers of meaning. Yeah, so you would have a literal meaning. So what does it actually say? David killed Goliath. Okay, the literal meaning is David killed Goliath. Yeah, but then it might have a sort of a deeper meaning, a kind of an allegorical meaning. Who's done GCSE English? Yeah, anybody want to explain what that means? No, I can't remember. Fine. It's just kind of like has a kind of an imagery. And often the New Testament and the Old Testament, the two sort of halves of the Bible, would sort of speak to one another. So David killed the Goliath, but maybe Goliath stands for something. Maybe he stands for oppressive powers or evil or something. So David represents like maybe Jesus or somebody who overcomes evil. Yeah, that kind of thing. We see those kind of deeper layers meaning. Then there may be a moral meaning. They might ask themselves. So these are the monks are thinking these things through. What does this scripture mean? They might think, well, what does this mean to me? How does it apply to me today? How can I overcome evil? How can I slay the giants in my life? What are the giants in my life? These kind of things. You know, what are the moral things going on? And maybe even there's a sort of a sense of what does this talk about for the future? So there's lots of different layers to this stuff. It's more than just David killed Goliath. Move on to the next story. Yeah, we learn that in Sunday school. Draw a picture and go on. Do you see? So there's something deeper going on. And there was a guy called Guigo the Second. I've been really into monks recently. Yeah? Guigo, anyone heard of Guigo the Second?
No.
He's the sequel to Guigo the First. He was great. Usually the sequels are not as good as the prequels, but actually in this case the sequel was the best. So you should check out Guigo the Second. Watch the sequel. There was actually the Guigo the Third, but nobody knows anything about him. But anyway. 12th century French monk. And he put this Lectio Divina practice, he put it into he wrote a book to monks and or a letter. And he said there's four steps. It's simple, four steps. You read, you meditate, you pray, and you contemplate. And what he says is this, I love this. He says, reading seeks for the sweetness of a blessed life. Meditation perceives it. Prayer asks for it. Contemplation tastes it. Reading, as it were, puts food whole into the mouth. So he's very much sort of saying, here's the scripture. You read it and you're putting it like food into your mouth. And then he said, meditation chews it up and breaks it up. So the meditation, the sort of thinking it through and just what does this mean, is like chewing your food. Yeah. And then prayer, he says, extracts the flavor. So for some of you that eat really quickly, I tend to eat quite quickly, if I'm honest. Sometimes it doesn't even touch the sides. This is a different way of eating. So it's like chewing the scriptures over and extracting the flavor out. That's the meditation. And the contemplation, he says, is the sweetness itself which gladdens and refreshes. It's what it does to you, what it does for you.
What's the difference between meditation and contemplation?
Oh, Katie.
Sorry.
Yeah, good question.
Because I don't know.
Yeah.
Good question.
They end in Asian.
If you, okay, nerd question alert, if you want to go into this. So meditation is more what we do. So I'm taking this and I'm chewing it. Contemplation is more what God does. So in a food context, you're taking the food and you're chewing it. You're doing that work. But once it's inside you, it starts to do its work. Yeah? So, you know, so it's giving us nutrients. So in contemplation, there's the idea that actually as you're reading this, that you take a moment after you've read it, after you've meditated, after you've prayed, you just wait in stillness and see what, if God might, it may or may not happen sometimes. You don't necessarily know what that vegetable is just. Mum tells you that vegetable is good for you, right? You may not realise the benefit of that until you're about probably my age, when you start to think, actually, I need to take a bit more care of my diet. Yeah, but it's so sometimes we realise that God's doing something, and you can maybe have an experience with God. Sometimes you just think, okay, I'll go and do the washing now, or whatever. You move on. But that's the contemplative part. More like you can go into a yeah, it's a whole thing. Anyway, so. Getting back to this. So really, for the first 1,000 years of Christianity, the Bible was read for formation and not for information. Ooh, I'll say that again. It was read for formation, not information, meaning that the Bible was read so that it would change you. You would read it and you would eat it so that it would do something to you and make you more, and ultimately make you more like Jesus. Yeah? Now, in the 11th century, anyone around? No, we visited a monastery actually in the Isle of Wight last week. In the 11th century, you start to get a more kind of like analytical approach, and people start to be a bit more scholarly about it, and they start to analyse things. And so there's a bit of a tension develops, and so you have people, and they really what it boils down to, what does this mean? Well, it means that Goliath was slain by David. That's what it means. It was a historical event. And so the Bible starts to be read more for information and less for formation, okay? And so you may think, well, really? Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with information, okay? You need to know stuff, right? But what happens is You end up with people like me standing at the front telling, look, there's one of me, and how many of you here today? I don't know. 40? Yeah, like, can't even count. One of me tells you what you need to know. And you go home with some information. And usually, if I'm honest, by the time lunchtime, in fact, we had the Howitz round a few weeks ago now, and they started to ask, what was the sermon about? Were you not, I can't remember, was it Brian, you weren't there for the, I think that was it. Brian, you didn't come to the service for whatever reason. Oh, that's it. Danny was somewhere else. And so there was a conversation about what I preached about. It's like, really? People remember that long? Sometimes you can't even remember what I've said when it comes to, you know, making a cheese sandwich for lunch, you know, because that's just, I understand that. And we feel as though we have to read the Bible with some kind of study notes because we can't understand it ourselves. You know, and some people, they come to wise people like me as if you think I'm a wise person, you know. And now, I am a preacher, by the way, so I've been doing this 20 years, so I think there is some benefit to this, by the way. I'm not doing myself out of job. I do think there's a benefit to Bible reading notes. However, I think there's also a benefit to just sitting with it, reading it. I know some of you have been, I know Daniel's been doing this, and a number of us have been doing this, just sitting it and chewing it over. Otherwise, you've got a preacher who's chewing your food for you. Imagine that. Not nice. Not a nice image, right? Chew your own food, guys. It's much better that way. Now, the reason I mention this, you know, I think it's just a great thing to learn for new believers. Now, I was talking to Sky. I asked her if I could talk about this. Emma and I got together with Sky a few weeks ago before she was baptised, and she's been reading the Bible, which is great. I love it when people say that. Good. She said, I was reading that bit in Genesis, you know, Adam and Eve, and they ate the apple. And da, da, da. Now, in Sunday school, we learned this. Eve listened to the snake. They ate the fruit. They realised they sinned. They hid from God. It all went a bit wrong from then onwards. Those are the facts. Yeah, that's one level of reading. But we learned that in Sunday school. We've probably done all the pictures and the colouring, right? But do you know what? This guy said to me, yeah, there's this phrase. And she said, God says, where are you? And I could tell when she said that, that wasn't just like something she just read and moved on. She was like, it had gone deep. Where are you? Because she's thinking, God is saying to me, like, where are you? Where have you been? You know, and you start to... And I can tell Sky has been meditating on that and reflecting on it and maybe even praying it and possibly even having an encounter with God with it. That's the contemplation bit. Because it's like God saying, where are you? You can forget the rest of the story, really. I mean, you don't have to forget the rest of the story, but what I'm saying is that there's just like three words. I'm good at maths as well. Allowing that. You know, you could dine out on that, literally dine out on that, using Guigo the second days. Months. Every day you wake up and God's saying, where are you, Richard? Where are you, Louise? Where are you, Bukumni? And we're all thinking, ooh, okay, he's seeking me out. He's looking out for me. Do you understand? You get the kind of thing I'm talking about. She didn't need a preacher to say, right, well, what God really meant when he said, where are you? It's this kind of thing, yeah? I'm just focusing on Belinda. So Belinda's also been talking to Belinda. She'll be telling me, like, I've been praying these things. I hope you don't mind me saying this. You know, I have this prayer or this song going round and round in my head. It's like, where's the last meditation, really? It's kind of like, and she really helps me. I feel almost, Belinda, you've kind of saying it as if, like, it's a bit of a kind of, it feels a bit of a cop-out doing this. But it's not. This is what we do. This is what the monks were doing all the time. They were kind of reciting these things and repeating these things and meditating. And what it's doing, and this is where my studies went bonkers, this literally changes your brain on a scientific molecular level. This, I won't go into all this now. Louise said, don't tell them too much about this. You'll lose them. All right? So I will just say, if you want to talk to me afterwards about neuroplasticity and epigenetics, come see me. But literally, there are studies that show that if you practice this kind of meditative practice, where you're repeating and chewing it over, it literally changes your brain on a cellular level. All right? So when Paul wrote this, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, I don't know whether he knew that, but actually there is scientific evidence that if you practice this kind of thing, this is one, there's lots of different ways of doing it, but this is one way of doing it, you will be transformed. You will be a different person. And I think some of us realise that. We look around the room, we think, yeah, well, maybe even just you look at yourself, think of me 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. I'm a different person now. And so I just want to, I'm saying all this because today we're baptising Belinda, and there's, Belinda's going to tell a little bit of her story, but there's, we always talk about baptism as something coming from the new to the old. Sorry, that's it. Old to the new. Good job you're listening to the preacher and paying attention. Old to the new. And this is a moment where that happens, where we baptise someone, they are coming from the old to the new. The old has gone, the new has come. But there is also a formative thing that happens within us that we allow this to happen continually and to keep going with it. So I wonder whether just before, I'm going to read you a bit of scripture. Maybe there's something, if you guys thinking, well, what can I, how can I do this? You just start, you don't have to take a long, you know, the whole book of Leviticus or something. You know, you can take a short thing. So it says here, this is where Jesus getting baptized. Is just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. He saw heaven torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Just chew that over. Heaven was torn open. Torn open. And the Spirit descended on him like a dove. And what you would do is you would take those words, if you were going to practice Lectio Divina, we haven't got time to do this now, but just chew them over. Chew them over. What? Imagine that. Let it hit you. And a voice from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. You could take those words again, just chew them over. Allow the Spirit to move through them. Pray them. Now we have a baptism to do, so I'll let you, that's your homework. Try it out. Try out. A bit of Lectio Divina. It's good for you. Changes your head. Changes your brain. Well, not so your head. Maybe that's why I've lost so much hair. I don't know. No, it changes your brain. Transforms you by the renewing of your mind.